Let's all stand and worship this morning. Amen.
To face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
You guys can have a seat. Thank you.
So we have just a few announcements for you this morning. A lot of what you need to know about what's going on here at Asbury. And by the way, welcome. We're glad that you are here with us this morning to worship with us at Asbury. Everything you need to know about what's going on is in your bulletin. Especially want to point out that our Community Wednesdays have started back up. And there are classes for everybody. There's something for everybody. And we want you to come and be a part of that. Also, we want you to come and be a part of the fellowship that happens before those classes when we eat dinner together. If you want to come, you can sign up for that online, or you can sign up on the attendance pad that's going to be passed around to you. By the way, we want to encourage you to fill that out. It's just a way that we can know that you were here, lift you up in prayer throughout the week. And so we want to encourage you to fill that out. But again, there's something in here for everyone. We want to encourage you to come. Today we are focusing on our name tags. And so if you're wearing your name tag, way to go. Way to go. If you're not wearing your name tag and you're a member, the pastor has requested that you place an extra $5 in the offering plate for WAC, which is, this is, if you're visiting with us, we call this the WAC. This is our worship space, but we're going to be renovating this room as money allows, changing lights, doing all kinds of really great stuff that's going to enhance our worship experience in here for God. And so just go ahead and throw that extra $5 in there if you forgot your name tag this morning. But we also, let me, if I can borrow that clicker real quick. We wanted to put together, the staff and I, or the staff as a whole, wanted to put together a little list for you. So bear with us as we go through the top 10 places to keep your name tags so you don't forget them. All right? Are you ready for this? Number 10. That's not it. Number 10, your wife's purse. That's where I like to keep mine. That's where it's been and got lost, and I had to get another one, but that's okay. Number 9, your mother's purse. That's step 2. Number 8, as a tie tack. You can wear it as a tie tack. You'd have to have a metal button, but you can wear it as a tie tack. All right, number 7, on the baby's bag. If you have a baby, preferably on your own baby's baby bag. That could get awkward. Number 6, your dresser mirror. It's a good place. Number 5, metal door frame above your Sunday school class. Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. These are more, you know, good ideas, okay, instead of jokes. Number 4, your billfold. Watch out, you don't want to erase your credit card information, though, because it is a magnet. But that's number 4. Number 3, the fridge. That's my favorite, because that's where I like to visit the most. Number 2, your car. And number 1, your metal-encased Bible. The Bible. Once again, we're so glad that you have joined us this morning to worship with us. I want to invite you to stand again as we go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just honored to be able to come together freely, to gather in your house, to worship you, God, to come together to fellowship as brothers and sisters, your sons and your daughters, God. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for the joy that you give us in our lives, Father, that and the assurance that even when we don't feel so joyful, God, you're still on your throne, you're in control, and we have a reason to sing, God. So we're here this morning to do just that, to lift up your name. Be in this place, Father. Fill us with your love and your spirit, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing now with voices.
to Jesus. Sing to the King. Sing to the King is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring, and joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. And we pray we will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed, cause Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song. Song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Oh, come, let us sing a song. A song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. And lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
See you. Thank you. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Sing that with us. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come upon you, the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Take a longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come upon you, the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. You lift.
yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Take a moment. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load.
Amen.
Good morning. Today is a wonderful day at Asbury. Not only is it Tag Sunday, Promotion Sunday, the beginning of all of the children's items and promotions and all of that, but today we're also going to give our third graders their Bibles. And so we, this year again, will be giving out the Adventure Bible, and it's the new International Reader's Version. It's specifically for those who are reading, and it has more information about the places and the people and the events that happen in the Bible. So we are very excited to give them. So I will call out their name, and if they will come forward with their parents and line up, this would be great. Elena DuPaul, Graham Holstead, Jackson South, Ben Shoemaker, and Anna Carol Whitlock. And have I missed anyone? Perfect. All right. Pastor Mary?
What a fine-looking group of third graders. Congratulations. Congregation, I turn your attention to the insert that you have in your bulletin, if you would follow along, please. Today, we celebrate a special event, the presentation of Bibles to you, our third graders. The Bible is a very special book because it contains the story of God and of the persons who loved and followed God. We, as the church, believe this story is an important one for you to hear and to experience. As you explore, learn, and discover your Bible, we hope that you will not only be reading of happenings long ago in a faraway land, but will also begin to see yourselves as God's people in today's world. Would you join me? We are eager. Very good. Parents, will you assist these children in your homes, guiding them as they study, sharing your understanding of the story of faith, and giving them the opportunity to benefit together in Christian education programs? And congregation, will you join in your response, please? As a congregation, we too have the privilege and responsibility to share our faith stories and support these persons as they learn and grow. We pray for God's guidance as we help them belong and serve as Christians. Everyone together, loving God, we give thanks for the Bible, your gift to be used for our learning. Help us to hear those words, understand them, and be changed by them, so that in your time we may become more like Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
All right. Now we want to ask the rest of the kids to come on up. They brought their backpacks. That'd be great. We are going to do a blessing of the backpacks, which is really a blessing on all of you. Those backpacks symbolize what you're doing. You're going back to school. And y'all love school, right? Yes, we love school. Yes.
No.
Okay, well, we're going to pray for you. What I want to ask you to do is kind of all stand up, if you don't mind. Let's make a huddle, like a football huddle. Anybody watch that football game yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm screaming a little too loud. My voice is going out every once in a while now. We're going to huddle up like a football team, okay? And I'm going to pray for you guys. And I want to invite any of you that would like to come up just place your hand on the back or a backpack and pray with us. You're invited. There's room. Huddle in tight. Huddle in tight. Bring it in. Bring it in. We got some more coming. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. I thank you for every child that is here. God, your word tells us that your children are precious and that you love them. And Father, we pray for each and every child that's here. I pray for every family. Lord, as they go back to school, the times are changing, God. You know, you're in control. And we just pray protection and blessings over each and every one of their lives. We pray that you would give them courage to be a shining light for you among their friends that don't know you, God. And we pray that you would just let them know that you're with them every step of the way as they enter this new school year, God. We love you, and together we all say, amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
It's wonderful to see our children. Just wonderful. They are a faithful witness to us all. As they prepare to go to Kids Club and have more worship time together, we come to that point in our service where we lift up those that who have names in our bulletin that need our special prayers. We thank God for healing that has taken place. We pray for those who are looking at tests and procedures and surgeries. So let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, as we think about children today, with our theme, back to school, back to church, we're thinking about the crosswalk last week, and today we look at children at play. We are mindful that you are our Father, and we are privileged to be adopted children. So, Father, we give you all the thanks and praise. We come together as a family of God then, Father, and lift up those names that are before us as well as those that are written in our hearts and certainly in your mind and your heart. Father, we do pray for those who are struggling with their current jobs, those who are needing employment, those who are needing to make decisions about their careers and their jobs. We pray for those who have recently retired and are working through those adjustments. We pray for those who are just needing that extra sense of your presence, dealing with an issue that is perhaps a new issue or one that they've been struggling with for a long, long time. But God, our Father, you are that strength, that rock, that one that we can lean upon and draw power through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we come forward today, mindful of the ways that we have certainly disappointed you, we look again to that strength that we might grow stronger ourselves in being, acting, living the way of Christ. So we gather as this family of God and give you all the praise and thanksgiving and confess our sins before you, knowing that through the blood of Christ, we are forgiven. And help us to remember that we are to forgive others and walk in that grace this day and forevermore. As we pray the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before our ushers come forward, let me just say a word. If you weren't here last week, I did announce, if you'll notice the schoolhouse on the back wall, that you, Asbury, in your faithfulness, sponsored 1.5 schools for Arkansas Rice Depot, and so very, very good. Very good. And we, as Daniel mentioned, we do have the ongoing WAC renovation. If you feel a heart and feel led to do that, then I ask that you consider that. But I just want to stand before you today and say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. This has been a wonderful year, and God is carrying us in that momentum into the next year as we continue to be strong in missions and outreach. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that we experience day in and day out in our lives. And so, Father, in that spirit of being blessed, we desire to be a blessing to others as we now offer these gifts in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, being confident that you will use them for your kingdom now and forevermore. Amen.
There's power, power here in this hour, we're all together, together, waiting here as one. Yeah, there is power, power here in this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. Oh, hear the sound from heaven. Oh, a mighty rushing wind. We're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. All your sons and your daughters dreaming the dreams of their father, seeing the signs and the wonders, the kingdom of God. Oh, hear the sound from heaven. Oh, a mighty rushing wind. Oh, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. Oh, I cannot contain it, this fire inside. I cannot contain it, so let it shine. I cannot contain it, this light of mine. Oh, it's burning in my soul. Hear the sound from heaven. Oh, a mighty rushing wind. Oh, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. Oh, it's burning in my soul. There is power, power here in this hour, we're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Once again, so thankful for our celebration singers and band. This morning, I'm adjusting the scripture passages a bit from what is printed in your bulletin, but I'm going to be reading excerpts from Psalms 30, first couple of verses, then 6 through 8, and 11 through 12. So may the people of God be enriched by the hearing and reading of God's holy word as recorded in the 30th Psalm. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast drawn me up and hast not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to thee for help. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By thy favor, O Lord, thou hast established me as a strong mountain. Thou didst hide thy face. I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. The word of God for the people of God. As I mentioned in the prayer time earlier, we've been in this series, Back to School, Back to Church, and last week we looked at the idea of the signs that we encounter as the children are back to school and how they really can apply to our faith. So last week we looked at the crosswalk, how that is a place of safety and security for the children to walk, and how indeed the cross, the blood of Christ, is our salvation, is our refuge and security. Today we look at the idea of children at play as we exercise caution. In our neighborhood a few years ago, some neighbors took it upon themselves to have a sign placed strategically, I might add, that said, "Children at play," along with a couple of speed bumps, which again were strategically placed near our home. Now, what was interesting about this is the person who visited with the county department wanted to make sure that these measures would protect children and grandchildren of theirs that were in the neighborhood. Now, Tony spent a good deal of time contemplating this, as a good lawyer does. Who was this for? Katie had moved to college. So the culprit of this should be, of course, Mary or Kara. But now, Kara has moved away. I only live there part-time. And the sign is still there, and the family's moved to Hot Springs. So I've decided it must be Tony. We're not bitter. Children at play. Children were created to play. I mean, think about it. From the tiny toddler, from the stage of crawling into the time that they begin to walk, each step with diligence. They conquer the walking, and before you know it, they're running. There's nothing more precious than to see a toddler running. And then they go from running to skipping, and from skipping to jumping. And you have to thank God in all of his wisdom that he made these toddlers kind of low to the ground, because when they're learning to walk, it's not so big a fall. You know, God created children to play, and they learn all kinds of things in their experiences to grow and to understand. Having a hard time sometimes grasping the greater aspects, such as worship. A little boy was sitting with his family in church, and they were pulling out every trick in the book to calm down their little restless fella. And after a while, the father just gave up, didn't want to disrupt the service any further, kind of barrel-hugged the kid and went up the aisle. They'd almost made it to the safety of the narthex as the little boy looked out to the congregation and said, "Pray for me. Please pray for me." In today's text, the psalmist David is really writing about an array of emotions. He really is sharing the various experiences of a child, issues of illness, and the trust of God to heal them. Understanding that he has disappointed God, and the feeling of shame and disappointment he has within himself about that, as well as the times where he feels like he's found God's favor. The times of weeping in his life and the times of rejoicing where he has learned to lean upon his God. David felt God's presence guiding him through all of these situations. Hear the joy in David's statement. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my clothes of mourning and instead clothed me with joy. Oh, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. I want us to visit this morning then about three things I find that are important as we look at the idea of we are the children at play. Because the first thing I want to share is the nature of a child has to be the key component in who we are as Christians. As I listen to these words that I just read in Psalms, I hear in David the heart of a child. David was many things. Let's think about it. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a writer. He was a harpist. And he was destined to be king of the Israelite people, of the Hebrew nation. He would be the forerunner indeed to Christ. But now, he also writes in many of his psalms about his sins, which read like a tabloid magazine. Adultery, conspiracy, murder. And yet, as we read the psalms, we read the heart of a child in its truest, sincerest, most genuine repentances. Yes, David is indeed growing in the grace of God. And as I said, to be the king of the people, the forerunner to Jesus, the Messiah. Now, Jesus the Christ taught us much also about the idea of children at play. It's a marvelous episode that you're probably familiar with in Mark 10, verses 13 through 14. And people were bringing the children for Jesus to bless them. And the disciples rebuked them. They were rude to them. And Jesus was indignant. I mean, granted, the culture then, children were low class. They would be tolerated but not heard. But Jesus values the children. He breaks the social norm. And he says, let the children come to me. Do not keep them away. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. See, Jesus took the opportunity to point out to his disciples and to all who would witness this, that in the realm of God's presence, God commends those who are eager like children, who are like sponges that soak up knowledge and adhere to trust, embrace it so. That God loves the one who is ready to help like children are, who is eager to be accepted and accepting. A child's heart is pure. Another child cannot stand to see another child without food to eat. Another child cannot stand to see another child without some toys to play with. Another child cannot stand to see another child with tears on their face when they have smiles and laughter in theirs. You see, a child who does not naturally want these things more than likely learn from an adult how to be selfish. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right." Early on in life, our personalities are established. And children are known as either precocious or precious, or sweet or spoiled, or lazy or hardworking. And later on, the personalities, as we know, then as we grow and mature, then we have actions which establish reputations. And these stick with us by and large unless we become aware of them and initiate a change for the better. And in that initiative, it brings me to my second point. Although the Lord loves a childlike heart, the Lord also loves a child of God willing to mature in the faith. Mature, such a politically correct word. We don't like to be older. We prefer mature. We don't like to be called a senior adult. We prefer a mature adult. I'm sorry, it still means old. But maturity is exactly, you see, what Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, 11th verse. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." Now, there's no mistake when you hear childish reasoning. It's very genuine. It's very appropriate if you are a child. This childish reasoning has to be listened to very closely. Children are quick. I was serving a church once, and to my surprise, one Sunday morning, I saw a little grandchild visiting. Now, I didn't always know all the grandchildren because they lived far away, but this grandchild that was visiting his grandmother was in the local town. And he happened to be in the same daycare as our older daughter, Katie. And so he came into the worship service and sat next to his grandmother, and I proceeded to enter. And I had on my black robe and my stole like I normally do and went up into the pulpit area to begin the morning worship service and make the announcements. Except he beat me to the announcements, this little boy. For very loudly, over everyone, he said, "Grandma, what is Katie's mama doing up there in a black nightgown?" Childish reasoning. There's no mistaking it. But as a child grows, so does their need to understand. And something just clicks. Questions once put off, as long as we thought we could put them off and avoid them, suddenly are asked. And answers are demanded. The biggies, like, who is God? How did he get there? What is heaven like? Why do we have to die in the first place? And will my pet be in heaven with me? Then the questions get a little deeper. And we children of God are still asking them. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? And if God loves everyone, then why does anyone have to suffer? We're all struggling with the whys of those questions. And those people who do not nurture and develop a trust in God, I'm here to tell you, are going to why themselves to death. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is, God is the only one who knows all the answers. And that would make him God. And it makes us his children to trust that he knows what is best, wants what is best, believe it or not, even though it doesn't look like it at the time. And that would make us his children to trust him through the questions. We've got to remember, God doesn't make all things happen. God puts together through faith some good out of all things that happen. Amen. And the third thing I want to share with you this morning is children may be at play, but they are desperately looking for a hero. They're desperately looking for a role model in which to esteem, to be like. In Luke 10:21, there's this marvelous episode where Jesus knows his time left on earth is diminishing. And the disciples, after all, have been with him almost 3 years. So he's ready to kind of do a test run to see how much of this gospel they have absorbed. So he equips them with power to be able to go and to heal the sick. He equips them with knowledge to go and to share the love of God and to interpret the scriptures. And he gives them instructions concerning the hospitality as they stay in homes, because he says, don't take anything with you. Rely that God will give you the provisions. Depend on God. And then he even gives them instruction as to what to do if they go into a certain town and they're not accepted. It happens. He said, you're to shake the dust from that town and move forward and share the love of God. And so the disciples come back and they are just elated at this evangelism blitz and the success. And Jesus warns them about not putting so much glory into themselves, but giving the glory to God where it should go. And hear what he says. Do not rejoice in the demons which submitted to you, but rejoice your names are written in heaven. Jesus praised God and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Jesus was clearly saying spiritual truth is not reserved just for the religious elite. Spiritual truth is meant to be embarked upon everyone, but the desire has got to be there. These guys were fishermen, not biblical scholars. But Jesus' point is well taken, that we don't have to have a seminary degree to get into God's Word. We don't have to have a profession in the ministry to share the faith. Indeed, we are all ministers of the new covenant. Jesus entrusted his message and power for them to spread the gospel, and so he does to you and me today. That is our mission. As we grow in the faith, we're not supposed to hoard it. We're supposed to share and offer the faith. I've shared with you before that there was a certain person in my life who helped me become a Christian. It's not that my parents weren't good people. I mean, they went to Sunday school and church, sang the choir, and all the things that you're supposed to do when you're trying to be a good role model for your family and trying to vest them in the Christian faith in a Christian home. But my grandmother, and she was the one who was married to your former pastor many decades ago, she lived next door. And I'm telling you, she had decided she was going to seize the opportunity to share Christ with her granddaughter so that I would become a real Christian. I mean, a real Christian. And so when I went to spend the night with her as a child, I knew that nighttime prayers we would share together. And it didn't matter if I decided to go and spend the night with her even when I was in high school after a football game or after a football game party. She would wait up for me and we would say prayers. And it would always be followed by the next morning a wonderful breakfast prepared and a time to sit down with that little upper room and read the devotional. And then you see that little bread of life thing. It was a little polyresin little thing here. And in the middle were cardboard pieces with scriptures, one on either side, and we would pick one and we would just read it out loud, much like a fortune cookie. Just didn't know what it would say, just read it and talk about it a little bit. And when my cousin would spend the night, we would do the same thing, kind of make a game out of it. Now, my grandmother was not a prude. My grandmother was not strict. She was just taking her role and her opportunity seriously. She was a lot of fun, too. We would color and have contests, and we would play games, and we would do all the things that you do with grandparents. But what I remember the most, what I cherish the most, was how she helped lay the foundation for me to know Jesus as my Savior. Now I want to just end the message today on this question. To whom are you imparting the faith? There are children at play everywhere, on the school ground, in Sunday school, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. And these children at play are active children, active in their imagination, active in their questions. And some are actually children, and some are older. How seriously are you watching yourself as to what you are sharing about Christ? You got to know it's not always in words. Sometimes it's in attitudes, actions, and sometimes we're imparting not the best of faith. We've got to be more careful, my friends. That's all I want to shine a spotlight on today. As we think about the opportunities, much like my grandmother seized, are you and I seizing the opportunity to help shape someone, whether small or large, to know Christ, to really know what it's like to know Christ? Because I'm telling you, my grandmother, I wish everybody had had a grandmother like mine. She made it possible to show me how wonderful a Christian life is. Without denying that at times she was sad and she missed my grandfather terribly, even decades later. Without letting me know that from time to time she was concerned perhaps about her own aging and her health. But her witness was, and what I remember, is I never saw her joy waver. There are children at play, my friends. Proceed with caution In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'd invite our celebration singers and band to come forward as we prepare to sing our last song today. And if there are those here today who'd like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, feel like you are ready to make that profession in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or ready to renew that faith, or you just need to have some time and quiet prayer at the altar, if you'd like for me to pray with you, please just indicate so by raising your hand. But let us stand and sing now. Wonderful to be in worship with you today, you, the family of God. I want to share with you a word to rejoice in that we welcome into the Asbury United Methodist Church family, Mike and Kim DePaul, and their children, and we just are so grateful that they have made that decision to transfer from Henderson United Methodist Church. And so I'm going to ask them to meet me at the back in just a moment so that you may greet them and welcome them officially into the family. They've been a part of our family for a while now, and we're so grateful. Please receive the blessing. And now, God, you do bless our souls. You bless our souls with your love and with your peace and your presence. May we go forward now and be a blessing to others as we see children at play, your children, O God, both young and old. May we go forward now in the grace and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.